Answers Magazine, Volume 12.3, page 29. Science in Perspective, Quick Takes. A Dynamo Contradiction. Our planet has a barrier that protects us from harsh solar radiation. The shield is invisible, but we see the work it performs in the magnificent northern lights. To the dismay of evolutionary scientists, recent experiments indicate that this magnetic field could not possibly be as old as their view of the Earth's evolution requires. The generally accepted evolutionary model predicts that the continual movement of molten iron at the Earth's core maintains the magnetic field. As hotter iron rises and cooler iron sinks, this supposedly produces a dynamo effect, generating an electric current. This dynamo has never been observed, but geophysicists propose this mechanism as a way to maintain a magnetic field for more than just a few thousand years. But there's a problem. Experiments now show that molten iron at conditions similar to those at the Earth's core conducts heat twice as fast as astronomers and geologists thought. The more conductive a material is, the less it needs to circulate before heat is equally distributed and all movement ceases. This means that the original core could not have produced the dynamo effect, at least not right away. Yet geologists are sure it's been there from the beginning. Magnetic patterns in the oldest cooled magma show the effects of the magnetic field. Current evolutionary theory puts the Earth's age around 4 billion years, but the dynamo process couldn't have started until about 1 billion years ago. This contradiction between interpretations and observations has caused evolutionary scientists to rethink an answer everyone knew 5 years ago. But for those who trust God's word as the ultimate truth, the evidence is consistent with creation. According to Genesis, God created the earth 3 days before the sun, and this happened around 6,000 years ago. The magnetic field was in place and protecting our planet before God spoke the sun into existence. And since the Earth is only a few thousand years old, no dynamo is needed to maintain the magnetic field for billions of years. Hebrew writing in Egypt. Most archaeologists believe there is no evidence of the Hebrews in Egypt. Now an archaeologist has published controversial evidence that ancient writings with letters formed from Egyptian hieroglyphics is Hebrew, and that it is the oldest alphabet in the world. While studying inscriptions on stone tablets, potsherds, and so on, archaeologist Douglas Petrovich of Wilfrid Laurier University in Waterloo, Canada, determined that the markings represent the original Hebrew alphabet. He has published his findings in a new book, The World's Oldest Alphabet, by the respected Carta Publishing House in Jerusalem. Petrovich's colleagues are skeptical. The inscriptions date from the time the Bible indicates the Israelites were in Egypt. But most secular archaeologists reject the idea that the Israelites were in Egypt at this time, 1842 to 1446 BC. They believe the inscriptions belong to some other Semitic language. However, by identifying the language as Hebrew, Petrovich was able to translate 16 inscriptions, most for the first time. Those inscriptions included details about Hebrews in Egypt, including Moses and Asenath, Joseph's wife. Petrovich is happy for other scholars to examine the possibilities he may have missed and to use the translated texts for future linguistic, grammatical, and historical studies. He says, "Truth is unkillable, so if I'm correct, my findings will outlast scholarly scrutiny."
Secrets hiding in the trunk. Scientists have finally solved a long-standing mystery: how the elephant's long trunk can delicately handle tiny objects. Kelly, an African elephant at Zoo Atlanta, was tested while she ate 4 different sizes of food. By measuring the downward force of her trunk and filming its minute maneuvers, Jianying Wu of the Georgia Institute of Technology cracked the secret. It all comes down to custom joints. Elephants can create a kink, essentially an artificial joint, at any place along their trunks, which average 6 feet or 2 meters in length. The part above the kink supports the trunk's weight, and the part below the kink picks up the object. The shorter the portion of trunk below the kink, the less downward force the elephant applies. Adjusting the placement of this artificial joint allows for any level of gentleness needed. Humans have worked with and studied elephants for thousands of years. Yet even today, we make basic discoveries about their most common activities. God has folded layers of complexity into the simplest aspects of His creation that continuously remind us of the richness of His glory. Water from stone. A recent study of the behavior of basic materials deep within the earth has shown that mantle rocks can produce liquid water. At the high temperatures and intense pressures in the mantle, hydrogen can become a liquid. This hydrogen may then react with quartz in the mantle to create liquid water. The newly formed water is trapped in the quartz crystals at pressures as high as 200,000 atmospheres. The researchers believe its subsequent explosive escape from the crystals may trigger earthquakes deep below the crust. Evolutionists are ecstatic about this find. It could help explain how the water on the Earth's surface could have been supplied from water formed within mantle rock, rather than arriving from space as icy comets slammed into the Earth. Genesis tells us God created the Earth completely covered in water from day one. But this water in the mantle is another possible example of what triggered the fountains of the great deep that produced Noah's flood, Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. For decades, researchers have been discovering so much water stored in minerals deep within the earth that one recent report suggests a reservoir of water, three times the volume of all the oceans, lies 435 miles, 700 kilometers, down. Skeptics often ask where enough water to flood the whole earth could have come from. Scientific research is confirming a biblical answer: from beneath our feet.
Adam's Genome Book. Many creationists have claimed that our DNA contains evidence we all came from one couple, Adam and Eve. Two scholars are working to convince Christians otherwise. They don't believe that there could possibly be one literal Adam who fathered the human race. And the authors are professing Christians. In the book Adam and the Genome, biologist Dennis Venema and biblical scholar Scott McKnight, who are members of the theistic evolutionary group BioLogos, examine our current knowledge of human genetics and compare their findings to the opening chapters of Genesis. They argue against a literal interpretation of Genesis on two fronts. First, they claim the genetic variety seen in humans today is too diverse to have come from just one couple. Second, they assert that ancient Hebrews and early Christians considered Genesis to be allegorical, so we should do the same. Biblical creationists have addressed these issues in great depth in technical articles and books, but it keeps coming up, and the heart of the problem never changes. The creation account in Genesis is written in the style of historical narrative, not allegory or myth. The scientific objections are built on assumptions that reject the biblical time frame from the start. Further, they rely on conflicting molecular clocks based on current rates of mutation. Even today, mutation rates appear to vary in different people groups, and at least two genetic clocks seem to point to a much more recent origin of humanity, an origin consistent with the biblical timeline. If we can trust what God's Word says about the miracle of Christ's redemption, why can't we trust everything else God tells us? The issue is our willingness to accept His authority in everything and to recognize the fallibility of humans in reconstructing a past they never saw and must fill in with untestable assumptions. Alternate Earths abound. The recent discovery of a nearby solar system with seven Earth-like planets, three of them in the star's habitable zone, has astronomers salivating. News reports of the TRAPPIST-1 system show ocean-covered globes and otherworldly seascapes under an alien sun. No doubt, discoveries of such Earth-like planets will multiply in the years ahead. But what does Earth-like really mean? Essentially, it usually refers to three conditions: a diameter and a mass similar to those of the Earth, and placement at the right distance from the star for liquid water to exist. Put those together, and speculation about life will instantly follow. However, what most stories about the TRAPPIST-1 system fail to report is that all seven planets orbit so closely to their tiny star that they are probably tidally locked. One side perpetually faces the star's heat, and one side remains in perpetual cold and darkness. TRAPPIST-1 also may be a variable star, which would subject its planets to hundreds of times the harmful radiation the Earth receives from the Sun, and would be likely to strip away any planet's atmosphere. These two conditions alone argue very strongly against the possibility of life. But even if conditions were perfect for life around TRAPPIST-1, the system itself is unstable. Astronomers estimate it could not last more than 500,000 years, about 1/2000th of the time supposedly required for the simplest life to evolve on Earth. And the fact that water, which is necessary for life, also breaks down the components life would need to evolve, and the possibility of life's arising on any extrasolar planet becomes even more remote, regardless of the time allotted. The heavens declare God's glory, and his handiwork in filling the universe with stars and planets is truly glorious. He created the Earth to be inhabited, and so far, no extrasolar planet discovered has even come close. However, if we do find life on another planet someday, we can be sure it didn't arise by chance over millions of years, but by the direct, purposeful action of the Creator.